Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I got to tell you, I'm very excited. I know I say it all the time. I'm very excited about my guests because Beth just keeps coming up with wonderful guests. Well, she's outdone herself today, I'll tell you. Bob Johnson, President, Chief Executive Officer of the American College of Financial Services. And I'm a big fan. I've had the CLU, the Chartered Life Underwriter, and Chartered Financial Consultant designation from that organization. I got it back in 1995 and have continued to hold those designations and hold them in high regard. And many people in the financial industry feel the same way. They've also come out with another designation recently, that is more geared toward income and the retirement income certified professional. So they continue to bring great programs of education to the financial community. And I invited Bob, well, Beth invited Bob to come on, because not only talk about a little bit about the American College and their educational programs, americancollege.edu, but also Bob's going to give us some perspective from his perch at the top of the American College, as well as his ongoing research and media appearances. Talk a little bit about the Fed. Investing with the Fed is the name of the book, Maximizing Portfolio Performance by Following the Federal Reserve Policy. And that's what we're going to be talking about. So hold on tight, because we're going to dig deep into this subject of the Federal Reserve and the policy setting and how that affects potentially your investing. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate it.
All right. So I'm all buckled in here. I'm ready. This is a subject where I might experience several G-forces, and I'm ready to get into it with you, because I find this whole thing, this whole subject fascinating. And you know, there, I'm sure you've heard the expression that you can't fight the Fed, or some people try to, but you can't fight the Fed, or you can't fight City Hall. And what the Fed does in our country, the Federal Reserve and their policy and their requirements on banks and all the things they do to stimulate the economy and hold down inflation and try to do all the things that they have as their mandate, that directly affects us everyday investors and certainly affects the work I do as a financial planner.
No, absolutely does, David. This research really I've been doing for about 25 years. Before I joined the American College, I was a professor of finance at Creighton University. And then I went to Charlottesville, Virginia, and ran the CFA program for 15 years, the Chartered Financial Analyst program.
You are a glutton for punishment, let me tell you.
But during that time period, I continued to research Federal Reserve policy and the impact of Fed policy on capital market returns. And the genesis of the idea of doing that research, David, was I did what you did. I was a money manager.
Okay.
And I noticed that when the Fed changed policies, it influenced the markets. So like a good academic, I wanted to see if there were any systematic relationships. And lo and behold, there are many systematic relationships that exist. There are very many monetary policy-related return patterns with respect to capital markets in the U.S., and it goes beyond simply stocks and bonds, many other asset classes also.
Well, and it's a subject I know that we could spend 3 or 4 days talking about, but we'll lose our listeners if we do that, Bob. So we'll keep it high level, not to go too deep. But it is important to get into a couple of key things. And the big thing, if we look at where we're putting this program together here, Bob, at the beginning of another year in 2016, and we are looking into what's going to come and what some of the expectations are, and we've just come off this whopping quarter point adjustment the Fed made to the short-term rates, the federal fund rate, the discount rate?
Absolutely. And what we found, to cut to the chase, what we found, and we is Jerry Jensen of Creighton University and Luis Garcia Fiejo of Florida Atlantic University. We're the three authors on Invest with the Fed.
Yes.
And what we found is that it's the direction of interest rates and not the level of interest rates that is related to return patterns in stocks. And just to give you an idea, what we found is that when rates are trending downward, the stock market performs pretty well.
Okay.
When rates are trending upward, the stock market struggles.
Well, okay, so we've got a convenient anecdote or example real world here that, you know, the first trading day of 2016, we had over 250 or 280 point drop in the Dow, which is the worst in 84 years?
Yeah, and I think we're seeing, and this is related to what we find too, is that what we're seeing is we're seeing much more daily volatility.
Yeah.
But David, if you were Rip Van Winkle last year,
yeah,
and you fell asleep on January 1st and you woke up on December 31st and checked your portfolio, you would have said it was kind of a ho-hum year.
What did we end up with? Basically a flat year for the Dow and the S&P up a little bit or down a little bit?
Exactly. But if you look at it from a day-to-day basis, then too often investors do that. They can't help but look at it on a day-to-day basis. What we find is daily volatility actually is increasing. That's not an illusion. If you look at the numbers, daily volatility is increasing. But if you look at monthly volatility isn't increasing.
So it's just the intra-month, and this is, do we see this reflected in this, and I don't want to be too technical, but do we see this reflected in the VIX and some of the indicators of expected volatility?
Well, I think what you're seeing with the VIX is you're seeing a more of a short-term focus.
Okay.
What I want to counsel people to do, and I'm sure you do it too, is, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if you keep your eyes on the prize, yesterday didn't make a bit of difference to long-term investors. But too often people focus on all that short-term volatility. It scares them out of the market. And, you know, that's the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah, and I'll be a little more, I don't know, say snarky about it than maybe you want it to be, Bob. I kind of lay some of the blame, and I think that's the word I like to use, is blame, or some of the responsibility for some of this hyper-focus on the day-to-day. I kind of lay that at the feet of the media and this 24/7 news cycle that we have with, you know, proliferation of all the cable and network news and all these places. They got to have something to talk about. So if the market moves 50 points, they act like somebody had a heart attack in the middle of the street.
Well, and the other thing is that they tend to report on things about point moves. Well, a 50-point move in the Dow today is next to nothing.
No.
On a percentage basis, it's noise.
Right.
And I'm amazed that every day when you turn on the financial news, the markets will move 25 or 50 points, and they'll have a reason for
it. I love that. Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be funny if they came on and say, well, you know, it was a random walk through Wall Street today. The market was down a quarter point, and we really don't know why. But so we'll see you tomorrow.
But there are so many people that focus on the day-to-day, and not even the day-to-day, the hour-to-hour, that they forget that the old expression, it's time in the market, not timing the market, that determines how well you're going to do.
Well, I think the part of the challenge is, even though I love the song, there's a little too much of Janet Jackson's What Have You Done For Me Lately with investor expectation. I saw something out on social media the other day, Bob, that it said some headline, it was on LinkedIn, and it said, millennials don't give advisors much time or are quick to fire their advisor if they don't get performance. And I thought to myself, well, how much time did you give them, 10 minutes? I mean, so it's a little bit of this hyper-focus on the, as you already alluded to and kind of set up at the beginning, this intraday, intra-month, hyper-focus on the today. Everything it seems is just very focused on the short term, and as you said, that's how people can really end up kind of cutting their nose off despite their face.
No, I agree. Now, what I do think people should look at is to look at the Fed and what the Fed is doing and change your expectations depending upon what the Fed is doing. For instance, the Fed is raising rates. Rates have nowhere to go but up. And I think most people would agree with that.
Sure.
I guess they could stay flat for an extended period of time, but rates really have nowhere to go but up. In a rising rate environment, stocks have tended to underperform. So
okay.
If you just revise your expectations downward a little bit, that doesn't mean that you need to bail out of stocks. I'm not suggesting that. But it also, what we found is that different sectors perform differently during Fed monetary policy periods.
All right. Now, that's I want to get into that. Let's grab a quick break, and we'll come back and dig a little deeper there. I think that's worthy of our, you know, getting a little more submerged there. If you're just joining us, Robert Johnson, PhD, CFA, and the CAIA. We'll have him tell us what that is, too, when he come back from the break. He's the president and chief executive officer of the American College of Financial Services. He and his co-authors wrote the book, Invest with the Fed, Maximizing Portfolio Performance by Following the Federal Reserve Policy. Say that 10 times fast, but you can find it over at Amazon.com. Quick break. We'll be right back with Bob.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, general manager with Volusia Memorial Park and Funeral Home. We are committed to helping you with compassionate, professional, and personal service. When it comes to pre-planning for yourself or someone you love, a Digny Memorial provider is the name you can trust for all your funeral, cremation, cemetery, and memorial service needs. Recording them and sharing them with your loved ones will help ensure your final arrangements will be what you want, easing the burden on your family and friends. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
All right, we're back. Bob Johnson online. Hey, Bob, what's the CAIA?
A Chartered Alternative Investment Analyst. It's akin to the CFA in the alternative world.
Wow, you really are a glutton for punishment, I tell you what. I love it. You know, I get teased a lot because I have a lot of credentials, but thankfully I've got guys like you who have really gone above and beyond to make me feel like I've not gone off the deep end. So thank you for that. Good stuff. No, I love education. I come from a family of educators, and we promote it heavily here in my company. And I think we have at least four or five CHFCs on staff. So glad to be part of the your group there, Bob, with the American College. I want to get back to digging a little deeper into some of the expectations. And you started to touch on with the Federal Reserve making its move. You know, again, we don't know how quickly and how big and how quickly these rate increases will come. My personal opinion is that the Fed's going to, you know, let the market and the economy soak up and absorb and get used to and deal with and adjust for this quarter point increase we had before they do anything else, and maybe even let inflation run a little hotter just to, you know, avoid, you know, putting too much pressure on the economy. But once we start seeing the rates starting to come up a little more, you made mention of the fact that different parts of the market, even though we may have an overall lower expectation, appropriately so, still different parts of the market, different sectors might do better than others. And I'm real curious to know what you think about, you know, maybe which ones we might want to at least be more mindful of, or at least maybe be looking at, and maybe others we might want to be more careful with.
Sure. Historically, what we found was that energy, consumer goods, utilities, and food were the best performing sectors during rising rate environments.
Okay.
And it really makes sense. And I love it when finance makes sense, because too often it doesn't.
Sure.
But people need to put gas in their cars, brush their teeth, heat their homes, and eat, whether rates are rising or falling. The stocks that didn't perform very well, the sectors that didn't perform very well in a rising interest rate environment, were sectors that produced big ticket items like autos, durable goods, construction.
Because they have to be financed.
Even retail and apparel didn't perform very well. Those are more discretionary purchase sectors.
So is it because they're discretionary or because they have to be financed or some of both?
I think it's some of both.
Okay.
And I think, you know, you can put, you're going to drive your car, you can drive your car a little longer, for instance, if money is dear. You can delay purchasing that washing machine if money's dear. But if rates are falling and money's plentiful, you may make those big ticket items. And it has to do with some of it with the discretionary element. And some of it is due to that some of those purchases need to be financed.
Yeah. Well, and so are you, what is your, I'll kind of use the, your finger in the air here in terms of the expectations about inflation, because that's a big part of that. Inflation and unemployment are a couple of big, you know, components of what the Fed may do in the future. So I guess first let's talk about inflation. Thus far, inflation has been pretty tame. Is this a trend that we think will continue?
Yeah, and what I think, David, it's a really good question, because obviously the dual mandate of the Fed is full employment and low inflation.
Right.
That's what the Fed intends to do, and it's a balancing act. So I think what you were seeing is that they really erred on the side of, before they wanted to raise interest rates, they wanted to make sure that in their minds the economy could withstand an interest rate increase. That is, that it wouldn't forestall the recovery. And I think they did. They were very patient. And you heard the word patient reiterated many times. And I think they did a masterful job of that. You know, there are so many people that were complaining the Fed, you know, waited too long. The Fed didn't act soon enough. The Fed shouldn't have acted now. I think when they get criticism from both sides, I think they probably managed the course pretty well. But, you know, if you put yourself back in 2008, if you were to say, gosh, the S&P in a matter of 7 years is going to be at 17,000, I think you would have had people laugh at you.
Yeah.
I think that the Fed should get a lot of credit for navigating out of this financial crisis and putting the economy back on proper footing.
Well, I think you're right, Bob, and I think the criticism is easy because there's so many legs and arms and, you know, pieces and parts sticking out of this massive thing that and just the severity of the downturn with the Great Recession. I think for most people, we really can't get our mind around it. You know, as a small business owner, I definitely had my mind around it, because not only was I advising clients from the financial planning standpoint, but also experiencing the reality of the environment at the time as a small business owner. But for a lot of people, it's difficult to get their minds around what the recession really meant and how pervasive and deep it was. And it just such a big thing to work through and work out of. And so I do think the Fed gets a lot of credit for navigating all that. And the measures that were required were just so big. You know, the order of magnitude was so large that I think that's where, you know, the target, it makes it such an easy target for people to be critical.
No, I think Hank Paulson and the whole crew of folks that navigated through that, I think when we look back at history, they're going to get a lot more credit than they did at the time. What's interesting to me, David, is in the current political environment, you actually see calls from the right,
mm-hmm.
from Rand Paul, for instance, and
right.
from Ted Cruz, and calls from the left, most notably Bernie Sanders, to reform the Fed.
Mm.
Well, I'd like to know what that means.
Yeah, it probably means different things to the two of them, I bet.
It does, and I just think that one thing in this election that would concern me is if there was any traction to wanting to make a substantive change in the way the Fed operates, because, again, I think the Fed did a masterful job.
Well, anytime Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders agree, I'm going to be worried.
Okay? I think there's some truth there.
I mean, that's a scary proposition. But no, I think that, you know, I think that thus far, again, that there's plenty of room for criticism, as we already discussed, Bob. But I think thus far, you know, keeping it as non-political as possible is not going to ever be perfect, because it's a political world. And our country is certainly a political one, but keeping it as independent as possible is a good thing of the, you know, maybe being under a legislative, you know, more fully under legislative authority or whatever the case may be. Now, but back to the point, which I think is really important, and let's grab a break. We'll come back and talk about a little bit more about inflation, then I want to talk about unemployment. If you're just joining us, Robert Bob Johnson's on the line with us, PhD, CFA, CAIA, President and Chief Executive Officer of the American College of Financial Services, theamericancollege.edu. And he's written the book along with his co-authors, Invest with the Fed. Of course, that's why we're talking about it and understanding the Fed. But Invest with the Fed, Maximizing Portfolio Performance by Following the Federal Reserve Policy. Quick break, right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ram with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our YMCA has 6 locations to help your family reach their health and fitness goals. The WISE Aquatics program is designed to teach personal water safety, stroke development, water sports, games, rescue, and personal growth skills. All participants are taught by our trained and certified YMCA aquatic instructors. For more information on how your YMCA can help with your health and wellness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com for more information.
Hey, we're back. Bob Johnson on the line with us, author with his co-authors of Invest with the Fed, Maximizing Portfolio Performance by Following the Federal Reserve Policy. Amazon.com, great place to take a look and order that. It's a very, you passed the thud test, Bob. It's a very thick book, and it's got, but I've already started reading through, and a lot of great information, charts and information. Understand this concept of, you know, investing with the Fed and understanding the direction and where things may be headed. So we talked a little bit about inflation, and I think we both agreed it's been relatively tame. Any inklings? You talked about some of the different areas that may be affected by interest rates going up. You see anything out there? I don't see much in the way of inflation that, or anything more than just a modest level of a couple percent in inflation. But what do you see? You seeing any areas that are picking up stronger than others?
I don't see big difficulties out there right now with inflation or expected inflation increasing. I think the bigger worry, if you will, is more deflation than inflation.
Yeah. Yeah, and that of course is why they have to be so careful. And you know, the next part of this is talking about unemployment, but before we go to that, you know, the other thing that I keep a closer eye on this than maybe some of the other indicators, because to me it just tells so much in one number. I keep a close eye on the dollar strength, and we've gotten pretty close to parity with the euro, around $1.07 per euro, and you know that's reflective as well of what we do with interest rates.
Yeah, and for somebody that's done a lot of international traveling, that is a big change from the past, but. I think what we're seeing is we're seeing a Fed that acted and, again, was very patient in acting. And what I believe you're going to see is you're going to see several more interest rate increases during 2016. In fact, if I had to put a number on it, I'd say we'd have 4 more increases of 0.25 point. And I think that would get us into a, and still historically we would be at the very low end of the range. I mean, interest rates have just been historically low. But I think you would be starting to get into that more normal range as interest rates start to rise. So for your listeners, I wouldn't panic if you started to see more interest rate increases.
And these are short-term rates.
Right. And In fact, what that means is that the Fed has more confidence in the economy moving forward.
Which is a kind of an ironic piece to this. Even though rates are going up, that's indicative of more confidence. And I had read, and I can't give you the site, but I read recently, you probably saw it because I'm sure the Wall Street Journal and other publications are on your required morning reading list like it is mine. But there was a report out about small businesses and a jump in rental office space. It was like the highest level in a number of years. So there is definitely some confidence that is brewing out there.
Yeah, and in fact, one of the areas that I think is primed to perform pretty well in a rising interest rate environment our real estate investment trust.
Mm-hmm.
What we have found in the past is that the real estate investment trusts have held up pretty well in rising interest rate environments.
Well, that's definitely something that we may want to keep in our tool belt. And, you know, the flip side, we've got just a couple minutes left, but the flip side on the, you know, as the dual responsibility of the inflation, but also the unemployment rate, we of course have seen that unemployment rate come down. Now, of course, there is the caveat with the participation rate having fallen, and also, you know, unemployment versus underemployment, which has also been another very, you know, I don't want to say political, but certainly another much talked about and critiqued part of this conversation as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's very true. But the underemployment, I'm not sure that that hasn't always existed.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
I think it's just that they're finding ways to attempt to measure that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think there's been underemployment, you know, in past generations.
Well, it's exacerbated by the fact that we've had, again, the greatest recession in, you know, in 80-some years. So, I mean, you know, so that's part of it, is the fact that the unemployment would, of course, underemployment, of course, would be much higher than it had been in prior years, even if we weren't measuring it before because of what we went through.
Well, and the other thing is that more and more people are getting higher, availing themselves of higher education, getting advanced degrees. And if more and more people do that, all else equal, you're going to have more underemployment.
That's a excellent way of processing it through. So here's the question that I love to ask any time I talk about the Federal Reserve. And so this is today's surprise question for Bob. Bob, how much did the Federal Reserve create? Was it something like $4 trillion?
Yeah, it was unprecedented.
Okay. So here's my question. So eventually they want to put QE in reverse, quantitative easing in reverse. How do they uncreate it?
Well, remember, though, that it isn't that the money supply is growing. It's mm-hmm. that you just reduce the growth rate in the money supply.
It's
velocity in terms of increases. So you're not actually decreasing the money supply.
You just slow how quickly it grows.
You're slowing the growth of the money supply.
Okay. I'm always curious to ask that. If you just joined us, great program with Robert Johnson, PhD, CFA, CAIA, President, Chief Executive Officer of the American College of Financial Services, and author of, along with his co-authors, Invest with the Fed, Maximizing Portfolio Performance by Following the Federal Reserve Policy. Check that out at Amazon.com. Bob, we're out of time, and love having you on, and we'll have to do it again.
Well, just going back to your first comment, Marty Zweig was the one that coined the phrase, don't fight the Fed.
All right.
And after studying it for 25 years, Marty was right.
Well, there you go.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.